ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Weird Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, go Pack Go, bud.
You know what? We beat you in the preseason. That's all that matters. We're gonna be our record for the year is 1-1. We're gonna make, like, if there was a lottery in the NFL, which they're proposing, We would definitely qualify for it.
Why is there a lottery just so that the Patriots could somehow get the first the number one pick in the draft?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if. Well, I don't know. Like, it's weird because there's some people that claim that, like, Roger Goodell hates the Patriots, and there's other people that Roger Goodell loves the Patriots. So maybe just like Robert Kraft and Robert Goodell are just having hate sex, according to, like, if you want to combine the two theories.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, the Raiders are supposed to, like, maybe finish at 6-10 at the best. So I don't know if that's necessarily much of a brag to beat the Raiders. I mean,
win is a win, but that's right. All I have to say.
Well, you just have to. You're supposed to win the game. You're supposed to win, and not need the refs' help. Because apparently, when you're playing the Packers and you grab a dude by the shoulder pads, that's illegal hands to the face multiple times.
I guess it just depends on where you put your hand.
On the shoulder, the dude literally had his hands cusping the guy's shoulder pads.
I mean, it looked like he had his hand, like, right on his collarbone, right? I mean, I get it. It's in the shoulder neck area, so.
I mean, missing one of those, but, like, doing it multiple times. For a guy who's never had that called against him in his entire career, I think I don't think he's going to forget how to play the game against the Packers so they can lose.
You know, there's always a first for everything.
Right. I mean, like, we still have to have a decent episode of the show, so.
I mean, the Lions should probably worry about not losing to the Vikings instead of worrying about the Packers, but, you know, each their own, right?
Exactly. So I was watching the end of the Falcons-Rams game, And there was like 4 minutes and 30 seconds left, and the Rams and the Falcons decided to go into hurry-up offense mode, even though they were down by 27 points. Like,
you gotta do something.
Right, well, yeah, but and then they scored a touchdown, so they cut it down to, 17 points with 3 minutes left, and they onside kicked it. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, I understand there's, like, hope and miracles for, like, one touch. Like, if you're down by, like, two scores, you score one, then you onside it, there's a chance. But when you have to score three more times in 3 minutes.
I don't know, man.
When you barely score twice in the previous 57 minutes.
You know, who decided that Patriots at Jets was a good Monday night game?
You know what? Same thing with the Jets had the same false hope that Cleveland Browns did.
That they were going to be good this year?
Well, that they weren't going to suck. Like, they just weren't going to be a huge dumpster fire. I mean, everyone knew, like, the Raiders and a couple other teams are just going to be, like, and the Dolphins. Like, especially the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins are going to be, like, the dumpster fire inside the...
What is it? What's beyond dumpster fire? Because that's what the Dolphins are.
I was going to say the Dolphins were a dumpster that's on fire in the middle of a junkyard that's on fire. In the middle of the Springfield tire fire.
With lots of different animal shit just dumped into it.
Yes. Because, like, one of the players the Jets picked up was the unhappy running back from the Steelers.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Which I can't remember his name. But anyways, so the point being is if there's a player who's unhappy on the Steelers, he's probably going to be unhappy and ruin your team no matter where he goes. Mm-hmm. Because there's two players and they're 3-for-3 on pissing off teams that aren't the Steelers.
Fair enough.
So, Sean, a while ago I asked you to jump on a grenade for the show and try a gimmick beer that was only available in your general region.
Yes.
The Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Yes.
I decided it was only fair that I jumped on a grenade for the show as well, Sean.
Nobody asked you to do this, though, so I feel like you're trying to give yourself credit for something nobody asked.
I'm doing it for the people, Sean.
Oh, okay.
And by the people, I mean Man-Thing and Mr. Chavo and, like, your parents and, like, maybe one or two other random people. I'm just saving them the misery that... I mean, it's a thing of, like, there's a fire and I, like, jump in the fire and they're like... I'm like, just get on. It's like, oh my god, that's hot. And everyone's like, yeah, we could have told you that was going to be hot. You didn't have to do that for us. So, yeah. a local establishment called the Brickwood.
Yes.
Had the Stone Brewing Jägermeister collaboration beer on tap.
Mm. Gotcha.
So I went ahead and I went down there to try it.
So how was the Jägermeister Arrogant Bastard Ale?
So I went there and like you could only get the full pour. There was no like 4 ounce pour. It was only a 12 ounce pour.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked pretty in the glass and it smelled like Jägermeister. You could just smell that licorice,
mm-hmm.
which was already, you know, for some people it's going to be like, okay, carry on, I'm interested. But most rational, sane human beings are like, why did you just not dump it out?
Yeah.
So I tasted it, and it tasted very, like, herbal. Like, it had, like, cloves and other herbs on top of the black licorice.
Interesting.
And I got about halfway through the glass, and I told my wife, I was like, I'm done with this shit. And she's like, she thought, that it's like, wait, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself and the beer. Like, so this has nothing to do with you.
You couldn't even finish it?
No, I could not even finish it.
Wow.
It was.
I wonder why they did that as a beer.
I mean, I understand, like, experimenting, and I understand experimenting on a, like, macro level, where, like, micro level, I mean, where you're, like, maybe doing, like, a cask of it or something like that, I guess, for a special event.
Yeah.
But to make enough of a beer first run to mass distribute it.
Yeah.
I don't, because they sell it in 22-ounce bombers in multiple locations in addition to having it on tap places.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottle looks cool. It's the black and green, like Jägermeister stuff, mm-hmm. and the stone is always, you know, looks pretty classy, but oh my god, dude. The worst thing I've ever drank.
I feel like that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
But it's not at all.
There's got to be
not worse. Not as far as beers go.
Oh, got you. I see.
I mean, I'm sure I've drank, you know, something that's gone. Well, there was the one time when I was first married and my wife had a bad habit of, like, overfilling glasses. And she would hand me the glass and want me to, like, drink it down so she could, like, finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that. I was, like, you know, in full husband caring mode by that, I mean, playing video games and not paying attention to her. And I just look up and I see a glass shoved in front of my face.
Yeah.
So I take a huge swig of it. And as I'm drinking it, I'm like, this tastes funny. This milk tastes funny. And she's like, I look at her and she has this look of horror on her face. And I was like, what? And she's like, I asked you if it smelled bad. And I was like, oh, I did not hear a word come out of your mouth. And then literally 30 seconds after that, I had to go throw up. So I think I answered her question.
Yeah. At least she knows not to drink it.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, the Stone Jägermeister collaboration did not make me vomit within 30 seconds of drinking it. So I guess that isn't the worst thing I've ever drank.
Fair enough.
But while I was there, there was a couple players. There's this league based in Southern California, and they do, like, historic baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, like, the old-timey uniforms, and they have, like, the gloves, and they follow the old-timey rules and stuff.
Okay.
Like, they wear, like, the uniforms. Like, have you seen the movie Hook?
Yes.
When they're playing baseball?
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, one of the dudes on the Riverside team, the Smudge Spots, looks like Smee, but with, like, a black beard instead of gray and no glasses.
Nice.
Like, and I've been meaning to get out and catch and play, but it just seems like I'm either, like, out of town or otherwise familially occupied.
I'm sure you want to be out there catching for all those guys.
Oh, yeah, man. Never pitching, only catching. But anyways, there was a handful of them there celebrating because yesterday was their, and by yesterday I mean Saturday the 19th, was their championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're at the Brookwood, and so I went to go back and get a beer to wash the Jäger, another beer to get wash the Jägermeister out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know what? These guys are celebrating. I bought them a beer. Being a nice guy, I guess.
How many beers did you end up buying?
It was only like 5. Like the whole team wasn't there, so.
Mm, gotcha.
And I went out to my wife and I told her, I'm like, don't be mad, but I just spent a lot of money on beer right now. And she's like, what'd you do? And I was like, I bought them all a beer. And she's like, oh, good. I'm happy. That's that. They deserved it. So, and it was funny because they're like, "Are you on social on the social medias?" And I said, "Well, I have an Instagram, but it's for my podcast. It's this." And I'm like, "Oh, hey, I remember, I recognize that name."
Hey, we're recognizable.
Yes. I've gotten that before too. When I ask people, like when I tell people who I am on the social about the podcast social media, they're like, "Oh yeah, I see you interact with my stuff all the time."
Fair enough. But I mean, then today, Sir Hoppyhead is pretty like unique.
Well, it's Hoppyhead Productions, I guess. Not is the what it shows up whenever I like things or follow things.
I just meant the picture though of Sir Hoppyhead.
Oh yes, yes. Sir Hoppyhead himself is unique. He's classy as fuck because he has a monocle.
Exactly.
I almost want to have him redrawn and have like a walking stick in one hand and a beer in the other.
That would up our ante up. Maybe yes, when we get to episode 200.
Maybe I'll hit up Dave Wagner of both Hop Problems for his beer page and Dot Problems for his art page. Because I did mention having him do something for us, and he seemed pretty another thing for us because he did our Facebook banner.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
So today, Sean, I am trying another gimmick beer.
Oh boy, I don't want to listen to your whining today.
No. This one I'm very optimistic about because this brewery makes weird beers that are apparently delicious because they win GABF medals.
So does Stone, but that doesn't mean anything.
Right. Well, they have this weird series where they make a hazy IPA and then condition it on candy.
Okay.
So this one is called High Juice. You know, it's the standard hazy IPA, all stars, hops, and whatever.
Yep.
But they aged it on Hi-Chew candy.
What's Hi-Chew candy?
Dude, you're a weeb and you don't know what Hi-Chew candy is?
Dude, I don't want to even listen to your shit, all right?
You should. I mean, nobody else does either, apparently. Based on our, you know, numbers and our ratings. But Hi-Chew is the basically like the Japanese like Starburst.
Oh, gotcha.
That I usually buy at Frank and Sons.
Okay.
When we're there or wherever else I find it.
Are you ever there Little anymore?
Little Tokyo. It's like, I occasionally go there like once or twice a year.
I was going to say, when was the last time you went to Frank's?
I went to Frank and Sons a couple weeks ago for a pin and patch expo. They had like an enamel pin show there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would think it would be a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, like, I don't know what flavor Hi-Chew they aged it on. I can't really, distinguish a flavor, but there's definitely, like, a hop forward, and then, like, the sweetness kind of takes away that hop bitterness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just adds, like, a extra creaminess to it.
Yeah.
Dude, this would get people in trouble. It's, like, almost 8%, 7.8. And it does not taste like it at all, man. Like, it's super creamy, super smooth.
Yeah.
I might, if I finish this whole crowler, because that's all, they didn't have it in bottles or cans, so you could only get a 32-ounce crowler.
Oh, man, that's pretty, you're going to be gone by the end of this episode.
Definitely. So, that's what I'm going to be doing. That's my plans. I'm leaving this show in a few minutes, apparently.
You're going to go leave and go take a nap.
Yes, naps.
Go look for some junk food.
Yes. Get the beer. Maybe I think I might have some Hi-Chew lying around. I should just chew on that.
Go get some carne asada fries.
Too late. I had some carnitas fries already from Del Taco.
Fair enough.
Because it's carnitas season, apparently, at Del Taco.
It should always be carnitas season.
I know. I don't know why it's only like October and November. It's the worst thing ever. apparently pigs are only ripe on the vine in October and November. And whatever meat they use to make the McRib with.
Yeah. That is pretty funny. Yeah, it is weird how they do that seasonality shit.
I mean, I understand for the McRib, because if it was year-round, I don't think very many people would buy it, because it takes them about a year to forget how garbage it tastes, and then they get excited about it again, and then they go buy one, and they're like, oh yeah, I totally remember why I don't like this. Because I did that. I hadn't had a McRib for like 5 years. And then I'm like, oh, there's a McDonald's right here. I'm going to go get a McRib. And then I ate like half of it and didn't finish it. And that was like 15 years ago.
And you're like, never again?
Yep. Nope. So, are you drinking anything today, Sean, or am I drinking alone again?
I mean, I wish I could say you're drinking alone, but you're not. I am drinking the Chai Milk Stout from Left Hand Brewing. So,
are you doing it wrong again, Sean?
I am drinking with my left hand, so I guess I'm doing it right.
You're doing it right. It's about time, Sean. If they can only brew with their left hand, then you can only drink with your left hand.
You make a valid point, sir.
So, I'm not a fan of the chai spices.
I love it. I think I need to have more chai things. I'm gonna be a chai girl.
A chai guy?
Yeah.
I think it rhymes. It rhymes better.
I guess so. I was just thinking, like, instead of, like, you know, pumpkin spice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking more like, apparently I'm a bigger nerd, because I was thinking the little dudes in Mario Brothers that wear the masks, the shy guys.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow throw some, like, Asian cultural appropriation in there with them. Like, wear the masks and a kimono.
That is fair. last night I tagged, I was at Flying Fish out here in Somerdale, New Jersey. They had a new beer on tap that I haven't seen before, and it was a caramel espresso porter at 7.5%. It's like literally one of the greatest beers I've ever had in my life.
I mean, like, that sentence kind of made me cum a little. That's how good it sounds.
Exactly. And you would think that it would be sweet, but it's not. It's just like a very fine balance. Like you get the caramel notes to it, and then like the espresso bitterness like pulls the sweetness back down. So you just have a very like wonderful tasting beer.
Right. Yeah, cuz I guess the problem there could be it could be just a nice balanced beer, or it could be a Starbucks Frappuccino.
Yeah, because I was wondering if it was going to be too sweet, and then, because when you smell it, you smell the caramel. It smells like coffee. It doesn't smell like beer. So I was a little worried at first, but yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh man, that does sound pretty good.
I just wonder if I could get like, if I bought like a crowler of that, and then I took it over to Forgotten Boardwalk, and I like floated that on funnel cake.
Oh man,
it would just be magic.
that you might have to go like on a night when no one's there, and maybe the beer tender will jump in on joining you drinking it.
I might have to. I'll just have to grab one, and then I'll go over there like late on Monday night before they close.
Should, right.
Hopefully nobody will be in there and be like, dude, let's do this.
Well, I mean, the Patriots are playing the Jets, so I don't think anyone's going to care about that.
Probably not.
I don't even think Tom Brady's mom's going to be watching that. And at least one of our moms listens to this, so we're not that bad. Hi, not my mom. So, Sean, wow. Jody and I were having a discussion.
Wow.
See, the beer's already kicking in. I'm blaming the beer. I mean, it's not true, but I'm going to blame it anyways. You know, we were having a discussion about how I was calling your by your proper name of Sheen.
Yes.
And you were confused, and your girlfriend was as well. And I was talking about your dad, you know, talking about, like, different story about your dad, Dean.
Yes.
Right? And she's like, wait, so Sean is spelled S-E-A-N, and Dean is spelled D-E-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't it Sean and Don, or Sheen and Dean? Like, why is English the worst language in the world?
Who knows? It just is.
So that's why I was. So it's either I'm going to call your dad Don, or I'm going to call you Sheen.
Fair enough.
And I'm sure your dad doesn't want to be called Don.
I think it has more to do with, like, where they pull the inspiration from the name is how, like, it reflects in the spelling. So the rules are just made up.
Well, isn't that every rule? Every rule is just made up until people start listening to it or following it, then it becomes a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. So I was reading this article on Reddit, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in Sweden, there's this group of, I don't know if protesters is the right word, but there's this group of people that want sex robots to be sold with a consent chip.
What?
So basically, if you have a sex robot, they want it to be able to be so that your sex robot can be like, no, not tonight, I have a headache.
What is my purpose? You're a sex bot. Get ready. Oh, God.
Yes.
You pass the, instead of pass the butter.
Instead of pass the butter, yes.
Oh, man.
No, no means no. No means no. And then, as I read more of the article, it got down to even more of a like a subgroup inside of the consent robot group, is that they wanted the sex robots banned altogether because, according to them, they promote violence against women.
Got you. Is that because, like, they're afraid of what people do to the robot and they'll just carry it on to the women?
I think that's the fear, is that, like, if a dude, like, only has ever had sex with a robot and then tries to have sex with a real woman and does whatever he does to the robot, that it's not going to be cool.
I just imagine that you're just like going and it's just like, yeah, a robot.
So,
I just
imagine
like the old school games, you're just like, it's like Hungry. What was that one? I forget. It was like when I was growing up, you had to like shoot like balls or coins like in this frog's mouth, and it's like, good.
Oh, yeah. Harder.
Yeah. And then it's like the Futurama where it's like, oh, yeah. And then it's just like, it's like the girl's voice, and then it goes to your name, Daniel Groves, and then it goes back to me like... Like, they can't program your name, so it's just, like, some weird, like, robotic voice.
Yes. The fill-in-the-blank robot voice.
Yeah. I love you, Philip J. Fry.
Now, imagine being, like, an incel that's been, like, turned down by women your whole life. Because, you know, it's not your fault. It's their fault, right?
And then you get turned down by the robot.
And then you finally save up your money and you buy a sex robot. And then you get, like, turned down by your sex robot.
I have a headache. What do you mean you have a headache? You don't have any blood. You don't have a brain.
Have you bathed today?
You please smell press like... 2 for yes.
Yes, I know. I can smell you. You have not showered this month.
I'm not gonna dress like one of your weeb girls.
Yeah. Anime is garbage. I am not your waifu. Oh, man. Imagine just the amount of anger, bitterness that would come out of that. That's kind of the whole point of... I mean, that, in theory, that's the whole point of a sex robot, is so you can, like, do, like, freaky things.
Yes.
That you can't do to a person in real life without being judged. And now if your robot's going to be self-aware, it can judge you and turn you down.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So... You know, I've guested on a wrestling podcast, and you kind of I forced you to talk about wrestling at certain points.
Oh, yeah.
So now, Sean,
what?
The wrestling wars are heating up again. We used to have the Monday Night Wars with Raw and WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're having the Wednesday Night Wars.
Oh, boy.
So the group, The Elite, formed their own wrestling company called All Elite Wrestling.
Yes.
And they had a couple pay-per-views, and they pretty much sold out, like, in minutes.
Yeah.
So they decided to go on, and they were kind of shopping, saying they wanted to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually, they're backed by the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. is like their money guy.
Okay.
I mean, he has his own money. It's not like, you know, and he's not full, like, trust fund baby. I mean, sure, he's got, a little bit of trust fund baby, but, you know. He's got enough money that he can do this.
He at least invested his money, so now he has his own money coming in.
Yes. So he signed up, and they started doing on TNT, which is where WCW was.
Yes.
And shortly after they announced their deal that they'd be on Wednesday nights, because there was no WWE on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
they announced that they are going to bring their developmental show, NXT, to USA on Wednesday nights.
Okay. So NXT is like their, like, farm league?
Well, it's supposed to be that way, but now they're starting to, like, push it as being a third brand. So now there's Raw on Monday, and it used to be Tuesday night SmackDown, but they're on Fox now. Mm-hmm. So it's Friday night SmackDown on Fox. And so then they brought NXT, and they're bringing some of the wrestlers that kind of started on NXT before they went up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Like Finn Balor's one that they've already brought down.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to push it as a third brand as opposed to a developmental thing.
So is there going to be, like, is WWE going to have, like, three, like, champions then?
In theory, yes.
Nice.
They'll have the SmackDown champion, the Raw champion, and the NXT champion.
Is that what do... So who wrestles? Like, do they ever wrestle each other for, like, grand champion?
Usually, like, at SummerSlam and stuff. Because they have, like, the main champion. I think there's, like, well, there's the one main championship, and it's, like, whatever channel the holder that is on. Mm-hmm. So I think it's on SmackDown right now, because I think Brock Lesnar has it, because he beat Kofi Kingston in, like, 10 seconds to win it.
Wow. That's pathetic.
Right, is it called a squash match, as the kids say?
Where's that meme? Where's that meme? Just Principal Skinner. Pathetic.
Yes. And so, you know, I kind of started, like, the first couple of weeks NXT was, they only showed an hour of their two-hour broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I watched the first episode, and they're like, all right, we're going to continue live if you want to switch over to the WWE Network, or you can just carry on with your business. And then
okay,
the next
carrying on, like,
exactly. And the next week, it was like all these things happened last week, and it's like, wait, did I miss a week? Yeah. And it's like, oh wait, never mind. That was during that second hour that I apparently am too much of a peasant to pay to watch because I don't want to pay $10 a month.
Yeah, all the other shit.
Yeah, the whole second hour that was like full of excitement. But then the first week that AEW debuted, which was the Wednesday that we were in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
NXT, that was their first week where they had their full two-hour broadcast. And so both of them, like, basically, like, they're aware of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, both had, like, their main, like, what would have been their headline match first.
Yeah.
To try to get people to start watching there and maybe not, so they won't lose them.
Yeah.
And the other thing they're doing is, there's only a couple full-on commercial breaks where they leave the action,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the time they do, like, the split-screen commercial breaks where they have, like, the match on mute.
Yeah.
And then they have commercials playing.
Interesting.
So, I realized, like right now, like, if you were a wrestling fan, you can watch, there's Monday night, you have Raw. Tuesday, you have NWA and Impact and something else. And then Wednesday you have AEW and NXT. There's mm-hmm. something on Thursdays, I can't remember. And then Friday is SmackDown. And Saturday is the replays of the New Japan Wrestling. And then they show the Women of Wrestling. Okay. WOW. Women of Wrestling, which is owned by, co-owned by the main guy that founded it. And then Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
Owner of the Lakers. Put money behind it.
Oh, wow.
And then twice a month on Sundays you'll have pay-per-views. So in theory, like, you could watch wrestling every day of the month except for maybe like 2 or 3 days out of the whole month there would be no wrestling.
That seems like a lot of wrestling.
Right. And actually I think Impact has their pay-per-views on Sundays too, so there could be like 3 pay-per-views on Sundays depending on how it plays out. So yeah, it's, and like the shows are like 2 or 3 hours long.
Yeah, they are.
or you can watch like the Hulu version where they cut out the garbage of the WWE stuff, and so it's like a 3-hour show becomes like an hour and a half.
Oh, just pure wrestling.
Or pure, like, pure talking.
Oh boy,
no wrestling. I was listening to one podcast, and they finally got to go see Raw live.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole 3-hour show, they only had like 3 matches. The rest of it was like setting up the pay-per-view drama.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes.
That's kind of suck to, like, pay all that money to go not watch right, that much wrestling.
Right, and that's why, and the one thing that kind of sucks about AEW is their show is mostly wrestling. There's a little bit of, like, drama, like Chris Jericho's, like, putting together the good old heel faction where, you know, he's the champion veteran, and then they got the tough guy and the tag team and the new up-and-comer.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really have any of, like, the storylines, so you still have to watch their YouTube show the Elite. Gotcha. And they have a lot of, like, the storyline set up.
Yeah.
And but it sucks because, like tomorrow's show on Being the Elite will have, this upcoming Monday show will have the previous Wednesday's storylines. So you're, like, almost, like, a week behind on the story.
Oh, wow. That's not very convenient.
And then on Tuesdays, AEW has a show called AEW Dark that's only on Facebook. Or, I mean, YouTube. So, like, there's, like, a whole wrestling show. It's, like, a two-hour or three-hour wrestling show just on YouTube of matches that you, if you want to see them, you have to go on YouTube to watch them.
This seems like a lot of work.
Dude, it's way too much work to, like, if you want to, like, know everything. It's, like, why can't – and, you know, people complain about Raw with all the drama, and it's, like, well, at least you can sit down for 3 hours and understand everything that's going on. You don't have to watch the two-hour wrestling show and then the 20-minute Monday video and then the two- or three-hour Tuesday video to catch – to know everything that's going on.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of information, like, really, like, every week. Like, how do you come up, how do you keep coming up with stuff?
Right, and, I mean, it's cool because there's, like, multiple storylines going on with different wrestlers. Like, it's weird, like, one of the things they're doing is the win-losses count.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have a horrible record, you're not going to be considered for the championship. Wow. It's not like WWE where, like, you could have, like, lost 10 matches in a row and then somehow, like, you're in the title match.
Yeah.
Because you're popular. Yeah. Like, so there's, like, one guy, Kenny Omega, who's pretty much considered probably, like, top three wrestler in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't won a match yet.
Really?
And everyone's like, why are they, like, not letting him win? And then right now they're doing a tournament for who's going to be able to compete for the tag team championship.
Yeah.
So there's, like, eight tag teams and they're going to go in. And so the first match was the Young Bucks, who was, like, basically the two members, Matt and Nick Jackson, are co-founders of AEW. Mm. And the first match was against this young up-and-coming tag team called Private Party.
Yeah.
And everyone saw that and they're like, oh. And you saw the like who they could potentially face in, like, the second and third rounds. And it's like, oh, the Young Bucks have set themselves up to at least make it to the championship round, if not win it. Like, it's going to be... Like, they thought it was going to be, like, the Young Bucks versus this other tag team, the Lucha Brothers. And they've wrestled a bunch already, and their matches are amazing. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, oh, it's just going to be them two for the championship.
Yeah.
Except the Young Bucks lost in the first round to wow. Private Party.
Wow.
And, now you know, some of the behind...
Everybody's like, oh, my God, what the hell?
Yeah, dude, people are confused. But if you, like, see, like, some of the, like... There's so, like, in wrestling, there's terms. A term called shoot and a term called work.
Yeah.
So, like, when something's a work, it's scripted. So, like, when somebody comes out, like, when The Rock is coming out and, like, insulting somebody,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually a work. Like, that guy knows what's going on. And a lot of times you can see, like, the person he's insulting is almost going to start laughing.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, a shoot where it's real. So they were doing some shoot interviews, and they were kind of talking about how that the whole point of All Elite Wrestling is to, like, lift up some of the younger new wrestlers. Like, they don't need the same people winning the championships over and over again.
Yeah.
So it seems like with Kenny Omega's losing record and the Young Bucks getting kicked out in the first round that they're keeping true to their word.
Fair enough.
So a couple weeks ago, I was getting ready to go to bed, right? And my wife was watching.
In the afternoon.
No, normal time. This was, like, a Saturday.
Got you.
So it was, like, nighttime, like 10. And my wife was watching TV, and I was talking to her and stuff, and she, like, before I got into bed, like, and the TV was behind me, and she's like, if you want to see, you need to turn around and look at the TV if you want to see boobs. She was watching the movie The Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah.
And there's that scene where Amanda Peet, like, distracts the hitman by walking around topless for, like, 5 minutes. And, like, I hadn't seen that movie forever, and I was like, I turned around and it's like, oh, that's right. Amanda Peet was, like, super cute. And so, like, I'm watching it, and when it ends, my wife's like, you know, I think I'm a pretty cool wife. I don't know too many other wives that would, like, not only be okay with their husband, like, watching boobs, but, like, point them out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But then I made it up to her by being a horrible human being, and I made her watch Fox, 21st Century Fox's last Marvel movie, Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix!
Oh, man. You know what? like, for me, the Fox movies, I don't dislike them as much as a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, when I watch them, I don't necessarily put them in the comic universe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, to me, they're like alternate versions of the stories. Like, the movies are their own bubble.
Yes.
I mean, they only really have to do with the stories and theory, like the Dark Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Apocalypse. Like, those are names in the comics, but these stories don't really have anything to do with comics. They're just the director and writer's version of them.
Yeah.
So that being said, it's not the worst movie. It's not, especially because I went into it hearing that it was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. I mean, there's a lot of the issue is where characters go against who they are, like the whole franchise, they're one way, and then all of a sudden there's something else in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Jean Grey goes to Magneto, and he's kind of already, he's like a hippie out on some commune. And he's like, look, you can be mad your whole life and want to murder people, or you can just get over it, kind of a thing. And then something, he finds out something happens, like, literally, like, an hour later, and he's like, I must kill everybody.
Wow.
You know, people made fun of the special effects, and they didn't seem that bad. Mm-hmm. The issue I had, I can't remember her name, the actress that plays Jean Grey, she was in Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah.
Okay, no help. Thank you.
I can't. I can't think of her name.
Sophie Turner.
I know who you're talking about. You act like I just remember names.
Well, you watch Game of Thrones, and I thought you'd be some help at some point.
That was your first mistake.
No, well, I've made it many times. But yeah, so her name is Sophie Turner. She played like almost too stiff.
Yeah.
You know, but I also understand maybe that was like the director's choice, kind of like how Hayden Christensen played Anakin very stiff, or Brie Larson played Captain Marvel very stiff. Like, that had nothing to do with their acting ability, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if it's on streaming and you really just want to, like, go full, like, Pokemon and catch them all, you should at least watch it, because there's some pretty cool scenes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's not something you need to seek out.
Gotcha.
Like, they changed the story, because in the like, it starts off that they're going to rescue a group of astronauts that got stranded in space, and then, like, they're getting attacked by, like, they think it's a solar flare, and Jean Grey absorbs it, and Marvel kind of put their hands on it, and so that, I think, part of the reason why people are judging it so strict
mm-hmm.
is because Marvel actually kind of put their hands on the movie a little bit.
They tried to give some good cues on what to do.
Actually, no. They had nothing to do with that. All they told, from what I gathered, all they did was they told them they couldn't use the Skrulls, because that was originally because the villains were going to be the Skrulls, and then they changed them to another, either lesser known or made up shapeshifter alien race.
Okay, so these shapeshifting aliens were the villains, even though Dark Phoenix was in the movie, anyways.
Yes.
Why? Dark Phoenix is like a villain. Like, what do you?
Well, because and very much, and you could tell how, like, they were going with the Skrull storyline, because their whole thing was they want, because the Dark Phoenix destroyed their planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Phoenix destroyed their planet before it got to Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And these people were like hunting it, and they followed it to Earth, and they were trying to hope to manipulate Jean Grey and to use the Phoenix to rebuild their planet.
Got you.
And by rebuild their planet was basically just turn Earth into their planet and kill everybody that was already on Earth, so that it's only their race on Earth.
I mean, that is a solution. Probably
yes.
A lot cheaper than trying to go grab all those Earth components out of the space and try to put it back together.
Yes, and so, and that's so that, and because that's kind of the Skrull storyline, is that they're shapeshifter aliens that are trying to rebuild their home world. So they kind of left facets of the story, but just changed the names to protect the innocent, I guess.
Sounds so bad. Just make up something to fit.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That's why, for me, I took another drink of that beer. That Haichu is coming through as it warms up. It's so good. But anyways, that's why when I watch the Fox X-Men movies, I don't think about the comic stories. I'm like, all right, they're going to tell me a version of this story. It's not going to be the one in the comics, but it's going to be a version.
Fair enough.
So, but on good news, man, Sony and Spider-Man, like, they went through a trial separation.
Yeah.
And then they had some makeup sex, and now we're all good.
Sony and Marvel are back together.
So, you know, a lot of people were, like, when this first story first broke, people were pointing fingers at either side. Either Disney is too greedy or Sony's greedy. And so people definitely, like, dug a line in the sand and chose their side.
Yeah.
And the thing, and they made it seem like Sony pulled out of the deal versus they signed a 3-picture deal. Those 3 movies were made. And, you know, Marvel kind of, like, shot themselves in the foot knowing that Far From Home was the last Spider-Man movie they were under contract with. And then ended it on, like, the most cliffhangerist of cliffhangers that they did for any of their movies.
It is a super cliffhanger.
Right, like were they hoping to, like, have that cliffhanger to, like, bribe or, like, whatever, manipulate Sony into, like, making the deal? So, I guess what happened was Sony originally went to Marvel with they wanted 25% of the profits, but they would also put in 25% of the production.
Yeah.
And Sony said no. And then Marvel, the second deal that everyone kind of heard about was Marvel wanted to do a 50-50. Mm-hmm. After Far From Home came out and made everyone, like, bazillionaires.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone's like, Sony's greedy, Marvel, Disney's greedy, because they wanted the 50-50. They only reported they wanted 50% of the profits. They didn't report that they offered to put up 50% of the money.
That is true. That was left out of a lot of comments.
Yeah. They're like, Sony wants 50% of the profits. And it's like, well, yeah, but they also want to put up 50% of the money. I mean, it's not like they're that greedy.
Yeah.
Like, read words before you jump on bandwagons. But, so they, like, kind of split up. And I guess the new arrangement is very much similar to the first offer that Marvel made.
Yeah.
Where it's 25% and 25%, but then Sony is also allowed to use him in their movies as well. So somehow he might be in the next Venom movie with Carnage.
Which would make sense.
Right. And so, I mean, I think that's what Sony wanted. They wanted him to, like, be able to be in their movies. And so, mm-hmm. I don't know, it seems like a win-win situation. They've already kind of announced the timeline for it. It's going to be come out in 2021.
The new Venom movie?
No, the new Spider-Man.
Okay.
The new Marvel, the gotcha. Third.
Okay.
The possible conclusion. Well, I think they got him for 2 more movies, I think, which would be like the solo Spider-Man and then the group for the next Avengers, whatever it's called.
Is that what they have with Marvel, or you mean with Tom?
No, with Marvel.
Okay, gotcha.
And I don't know how long Tom's deal is. I know he's at least signed for at least the next movie, him and the director.
Gotcha.
But that movie's going to be huge, because that's, like, 2021. The Thor movie comes out. I think, like, Suicide Squad comes out that year. And maybe the Batman movie comes out that year.
Yeah.
So, and so it'll be interesting to see how long, if people can be patient, I guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of being patient, on anime.
So, Daniel, while we were traveling, we were probably catching up on some shows, and since I've been traveling all summer, I've actually caught up on a lot of different animes, but there was one anime I kind of was kept kicking down the road, waiting to watch it, and because after the second season, I wasn't very impressed, but Attack on Titan, I finally dove in and watched season 3, and it was just so good. It just explains so much of what's going on. It was 25 episodes, so it went through multiple story arcs. It added depth and a lot of entertainment. So it was just really, it was really great to watch, especially after season 2. But the thing with season 2 is, even though it's not as thrilling and there's not as much action and it's only 12 episodes, it's very vital for the story. Like, it adds, like, it was like the necessary evil to get to season 3. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Which, there was like an episode in Stranger Things season 2 where people hated it because it didn't really have anything to do with the second season. And the people kind of came out and said, whoa, like, shut up, dude. Like, relax. This might not have to go season two, but it's setting up something very important for season three.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of vibe you got from season two of Attack on Titan?
Yeah, like some different things came out and there was some reveals, but it was a lot of story in season two and it wasn't as much action. Season three had a lot more action and very like a lot of big reveals happening and kind of like really pushed the story, like where everything is coming from and like the origin of the story. And like from season one, you're thinking Titans are just like these random beings. And then after season three, you know exactly what's going on. And it's just very entertaining. I couldn't recommend it enough. Like, I wish I would have watched season three a lot earlier.
Right. Well, I guess the plus side is you've waited long enough that you're closer to season four than the people that binge watched it immediately.
True. I also watched season two of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
That is one I need to start watching.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. So this one's another 12-episode anime. A little bit of craziness in it in the show, but it was a pretty good season. I don't know, like, so Gecko spoiled something in about the story, and I've yet to see it come. So I don't know if he just lied to me or if he just found out something and spoiled like a really big twist that'll happen still in the future.
Maybe either he's like reading the manga and they're ahead, or he knows that we know that he likes to spoil things, and so he's like going extra messing with our head, like Andy Kaufman.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. But I don't know if he's that. I don't want to give him that much credit. He's not really that smart.
No, he's not. That's why I was saying. I think he may have spoiled something way down the road. But they did. They introduced a new character into the story. I don't know if she's really in the group yet, but that was a very interesting perspective of the world. And then there was an interesting kind of conclusion. And you really are starting to really you know there's something weird going on because, you know, the one goddess is just super obsessed with the main character. And you just don't know why. Like, it still, like, doesn't answer the reason on why she is so interested in him. So it'll be curious to see, like, what happens in the next season and kind of that reason on why she has his eyes on him.
Right, like almost a borderline unhealthy obsession.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I have like the first couple issues of the manga, but I haven't. And I read the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those where it's like, I don't want to watch the show, I want to read it. And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to read it. I think I should just start watching the show.
That's fair.
Words are hard.
Yes, it is. I did, while I was, there's two shows I need to start watching, that I thought were pretty interesting. They both only have three episodes out. The first one is Welcome to Demon School, Yurimakun, and basically, like, some devil, like, basically adopted some kid, and so there's, like, a human running around the demon world. It seems kind of like the artwork, and it feels like the company that is doing My Hero Academia is doing this show, and it has like kind of like a flavor of that. So I've only watched one episode on that one. So that one it was pretty interesting, but I don't know if it'll like, I feel like it's just like a money show versus like something that'll be good down the road.
Right. At that point, you might as well have watched Rosario Vampire Hunter. Or whatever was Rosario Vampire or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was a very similar, like, themed show where it was, like, a human male in a school of, like, monsters.
Exactly. The other one that I watched the first episode is called Val X Love. And basically it's about this, like, big, like, goofy guy who has, like, a very, like, scary face. So everybody's, like, afraid of him. But basically, like, he has the power to, like, unlock or and boost the ability of like these magic girls around him. So of course, like, you know, it starts the episode and here's like the fabulous class president. Oh, and then here's like the most like smartest girl in the school, and then yada yada yada, all these girls that would never be interested in him. And then like he goes home and they're all there because they're all training to, like, you know, protect the world, and he just wants to be left alone. So it's like a really like stupid story from an anime, but at least it's kind of semi-unique, and like he's like a weird scary guy, because it's funny because like he just like does awkward things, but people like thinks he's like a serial killer. Like he gets like the police called on him and shit, and like for stupid shit. It's just really kind of funny. So
right, and you know, every once in a while I guess you have to be in the mood to watch just a silly anime, because one of the silliest premised animes out there is probably at the top of our favorites list. And I actually caught a scene of it on a YouTube clip, and now I want to go rewatch the series again, which would be Shimaneta.
Yes.
Like, you explain that to somebody, and they're like, what's wrong with you? And then, but it's so good.
Yeah. It's just well done. Like, it doesn't take itself too serious, and there's like there's cringy parts to it, but it's pretty funny.
But the cringy parts fit in with the story. Like, they're not just random, mm-hmm. like, what's it called? Random bullshit that's there for no reason. There's a term for it, and I lost it. Beer.
Beer.
Gratuitous. Thanks. There it is, gratuitous. Like, the stupid stuff isn't, like, there, like, gratuitously, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's there to forward the story or to, like, show that maybe, like, the one thing is, like, the head of the decency committee at the school, like, she's been so repressed and stuff that she ends up being, like, the biggest pervert of them all.
That is true. Yeah, the biggest president, the president who's supposed to be like the giant role model. Yeah,
like that, like everybody in the country even looks up to, like as the ideal student.
Yeah,
and not just student, but like human being for how decent she is. And her mom's like the head of the whole decency committee for Japan. And she's basically like the horniest pervert of them all.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean, like gratuitous, because that could be like out of context. You see like the scenes where she's trying to like attack him and the things that she's saying, and you're just like, why? What's the point of this? But then if you understand that it's like, no, they're showing that she's like so like repressed as a human being that that like once she feels anything that she's like surprised.
Yeah.
And doesn't know how to deal.
Know how to deal with it.
Yes. And that's like Shimaneta is like what? Shimaneta, a world without bad words, or
world without dirty jokes? Yeah.
That's it, dirty jokes, yes. Oh man. If you haven't seen that, you're missing out. That's probably one of like a top five anime that I've ever seen, for sure, easily, yeah. Without even thinking.
Yeah, I wish that they would actually come. I wish they would do like a second season, because it's just like, it's a very fun anime. So, and it's been out so long, I imagine like nothing else is going to come from it.
Probably not. Oh man, speaking of coming out, they finally announced the release window and official name for the PlayStation 5, Sean.
PlayStation 5?
Yes. They're not going the Microsoft route and giving it a random name.
It's crazy to think that we're already on that time of like new consoles. Like it's happening. Like I remember like the PlayStation 4 has been out so long. Like I remember like getting in line and picking up my first one, but it's just so crazy to think of how long it's been since the consoles have been out.
So you want to know a fun fact about the PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Even though it's been out so long, there's been no new Grand Theft Auto releases during its life cycle. There'll be no Grand Theft Auto released during its life cycle.
I do remember hearing about that, so that is pretty funny.
Like, Grand Theft Auto 5 was released when the PlayStation 3 was out, and then they reissued it for the PlayStation 4 because that came out like a little bit later, like within a year or so. But Grand Theft Auto, but they've been like marketing the multi, you know, add-ons and mm-hmm. microtransactions. They're making so much money off of Grand Theft Auto 5 still. Yeah.
Why would they make the next one?
Right. It's the highest grossing video game ever.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my
god. And it hasn't come, and it hasn't have didn't have a new release on the PlayStation 4. It was like still a PlayStation 3 game basically. That was up modeled for the 4.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thought that like they're still making that much money on this game that's been out this long.
That is true. It sounds like PlayStation 5 is going to have some decent release games though. I think with, especially if they do get Horizon Zero Dawn 2 released for it, that's like game changer right there, you know?
Right, like, my thing, because I'm like, you know, I can wait. Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn 2? I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might end up, it depends on when it comes out, like, I might buy it and just keep it in a box for the month of December and then start playing it in January, but, or maybe even just wait for the Christmas ones to go away so that those, all the busted first editions are out in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how it happened with the Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4. You need to get the second gen, like the beta test models out, basically.
Yeah, I don't remember having, I don't remember having any issues with my PlayStation 4 until, like, way down the road.
Right, and I mean, I didn't either, but some people did, and it wasn't as bad as like the Red Ring of Death, or that, yeah, anything like that. But there were issues still. Oh man,
that's fair.
So, speaking of making money on video games, Sean, this lady in Canada has sued Epic Games because they intentionally made Fortnite too addictive.
Is that a thing that you could do?
Apparently. What, sue or make a game too addictive?
Sue because the game is too addictive.
I mean, you can file any lawsuit. It's just a matter of if it gets thrown out or even gets, like, if it gets thrown out before it gets to court or if you lose when you know?
I mean, I don't think it's that addictive because it's not that very good. I don't think their games are that good.
Well, I mean, it's just Fortnite alone, and you're not a 12-year-old. I mean, inside you are, but not enough of a 12-year-old to want to play this game.
I guess not.
But yeah, because, you know, I was listening to another podcast kind of talk about it, and they're like, that's how every consumer thing works. They do market testing. They, you know, do different, like, study. They, like, read different studies, and they pay attention to see how things work. Because if this lawsuit goes through, then there's going to be no more mobile games on phones.
Yeah, basically.
And, you know, you go to the grocery, even you go into the grocery store, like, the grocery store is a major study in psychology. Mm-hmm. From the lighting, the music, where things are placed on shelves, like, what shelf they're on, whether on the top shelf, middle shelf, bottom shelf, the shit. I mean, there's a whole section that everybody knows is known as the impulse buy section right by the cash register.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, true. They put stuff there where you're waiting in line and you're like, I don't really want a candy bar, but fuck it, I'm going to buy a candy bar. Like, psychology is behind every marketable thing. Like, anything you can purchase, there's a movie, TV show, anything. Even fast food, like, they know the colors red and yellow, like, somehow, like, subconsciously make you hungry or make you feel, think you're hungry. So that's why most fast food restaurants have those colors.
That's fair.
You know, so I don't know. I don't see this going anywhere. It's kind of like, but then again, it could, because, you know, years ago when Tipper Gore bought her daughter's a Prince album without listening to it, and then walked in and he was saying dirty things. And she said she got upset because no one was thinking of the kids. She started a whole thing, and that's why you have to put the parental explicit lyric warning on CDs.
Why were they offended by Purple Rain?
I don't know. It was like one of his first albums, but apparently, like, he was talking about sexy times or something that she didn't feel was appropriate for her, like, teenage daughters. And it's like, well, then, why didn't you do, like, the minimum amount of research? I know your husband hadn't invented the internet yet back then. But, you know, like, the minimum amount of research to, like, ask, like, look on, like, read magazines or do something, whatever was available back then, to know that Prince probably wasn't appropriate to buy for teenage girls. But no, she just, ooh, his colors are purple. My daughters like purple, and he's a musician. My daughters like music. I'm going to buy it for them. And he's from Minnesota. He's got to be a good boy, right? But yeah, so that's why we had to put those stupid parental advisory notice stickers on CDs, is because Tipper Gore bought a CD for her daughters and didn't listen to it or do any research and was offended that she gave her daughters a Sexy Time CD and didn't think that was her fault.
That is fair. It is what it is. People need to suck it up.
Right. So do you feel the same way about people in Blizzard, Sean? Do they just need to suck it up?
I think China needs to suck it up. I think Blizzard is, they need to chillax.
Right. Like, I don't know who's worse right now in the people's minds when it comes to the whole China drama.
Is it Blizzard or NBA?
not even NBA, LeBron James.
Oh. Is it just LeBron then?
Well, because even Adam Silver was like, we're not going to like punish the dude from the Rockets that like posted a pro Hong Kong tweet. Mm-hmm. But I was reading a couple different articles and it said that LeBron James was pushing Adam Silver to punish him.
Oh, wow. What a douche.
Right. And people are talking about how LeBron doesn't really care about like basketball in a way necessarily. Like because he has a movie production company and they're doing a Space Jam movie. It's their first movie. They're doing a sequel.
Yeah.
And they're hoping to get that China money. So he's got to, like, you know, kiss that China ass.
Oh, or, you know, he could just advertise it to the U.S. to show great how to, you know, overcome tough little things when you're a group of people that are being, you know, pushed down, you know, how to raise above. Or, you know, you could just take their money.
But that's the issue right now with the Wii economy set up is, you know, Jeremy from The Quartering will say that a movie is a bomb because it doesn't have very good domestic numbers. But then, like, the China numbers will be, like, double the U.S. numbers on movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sucks that you kind of have to placate them, but if you want to make their money, you know, like, South Park made 2 anti-China episodes.
Yeah.
And they got scrubbed completely from the internet that the citizens of China are allowed to look at.
Yeah, it did. Well, of course.
Like, not just the episodes, but every reference to South Park. Like, as far as the people in South Park and China are concerned, South Park doesn't exist anymore.
So if you type in South Park, nothing comes up?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, maybe the secret police comes up to your front door and arrests you and makes you disappear.
Maybe.
But, you know, after last year's BlizzCon debacle with the whole, like, only having the mobile game, and don't you people even own cell phones?
Yeah.
People are already, like, on the edge of getting ready to attack Blizzard for, you know, anything. And so, like, one of the things that came out was if you wanted to buy tickets for BlizzCon, you had to buy it through the AXS app.
Yeah.
Which is owned by the same company that owns, like, the Los Angeles Kings, the Staples Center. And so, like, if you go see a Kings game, or anything at the Staples Center, or the StubHub, or the Microsoft Center that's across the street, you have to go through the AXS app. And I guess one of the things is they could, like, know your personal information without, like, your permission necessarily. Like, they can see your, like, location and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, people were pissed. Like, wait, why do we have to use this app? And it's like, as a Kings fan, like, just, I guess, get over it, because, like, I went to the Kings home opener, and I had to have my tickets on that app. Like, the one thing that sucks is that they're trying to cut down on, like, scalpers.
Yeah.
So, like, through this app, if you open your tickets, they're only good for a minute. And then the QR, the little code resets itself.
Yeah.
So, and it's stupid because, like, for the Kings game, it's like, you're going to do away with paper tickets. You can only use the app. And then you go inside, and the people, like, will scan your thing like they did at Great American Beer Fest.
Yeah.
And then, same thing at Great American Beer Fest. They print out paper. And it's like, wait, why are you doing away with paper tickets if you're literally scanning my thing to print out paper? That makes no sense.
I don't even know. I think for a Great American Beer Fest, I think it was so you could get your cups.
I mean, that made sense. But, like, because it's like, Jody was like, well, they need to make sure you're going to the right seats. And it's like, well, your phone app has your seat numbers on it. Like, if you're in a seat and somebody comes up and argues that you're in their seat, you can just pull up the app and be like, no. Either, no, this is my seat, or, oh, you're right. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong section. I'm the next section over, because that's happened.
Yeah.
I've seen people do that. They're supposed to be in section 5, and they're in section 6.
Like, look here, bitch.
Right. But then now with this whole thing with China, apparently people are planning to protest in front of BlizzCon in Winnie the Pooh costumes.
Brilliant.
Because the meme is that the guy from China, the head guy in China, looks like Winnie the Pooh.
It is pretty funny. Like, there's so much backlash.
Like, I kind of want to drive by, because it's November 1st and 2nd. Is the weekend of BlizzCon.
And I mean, it would be a good time to go hang out and see some funny shit.
Yeah, just go get drunk at, like, Bottle Logic or Brewheim or some of the one of the breweries that's right there and then head over there.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were saying there's so much tumultuous.
Oh, I was just saying there's just so much drama over this. It's just sad because, like, you know, there's, like, people literally fighting for their freedom and, like, you have, like, LeBron, like, just knocking it off because of money reasons.
Right.
After, and, like, you know, LeBron is supposed to be coming from, like, a poor neighborhood in Cleveland and making it. You would think, you know, he would be, like, somebody trying to inspire, you know, that behavior, not quiet it down.
Right. And, you know, I wonder if, like, if he wasn't making the movie, if he would have a different mindset. You know?
Yeah.
Because he didn't need to appease the China money.
Yeah. I mean, well, the problem is now is how many people are going to watch it out here.
Right. Yeah. Because another thing, too, is, well, like, this whole drama was going on with LeBron James and stuff. The Lakers and a couple other teams were actually in China playing games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think China, like, LeBron James is a harder advocate for China than Dennis Rodman was for North Korea. But at least, like, Dennis Rodman had already retired, and, like, everyone's just like, oh, Dennis Rodman is just drunk again. Let's ignore him.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So it'll be interesting to see. I know, like, there's been pictures popping up on Reddit, a couple different games, like, where somebody has bought, like, a whole section of seats for a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And given, or, and then had people show up in pro Hong Kong shirts. Like, sitting in the whole section. So it's, like, everyone wearing black shirts with something written pro-Hong Kong on it.
Yeah, somebody bought, like 30 seats in the preseason game, too. And that's why everybody is, like, filled out in that area.
Yeah. But it's happened more than once now.
Yeah.
And then I guess somebody in L.A. raised $45,000 or spent $45,000 to have shirts made of, like, anti-LeBron, anti-China, and he's going to give them out to fans at opening game at Staples Center.
Wow. That's some commitment right there.
Right? So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because as a Lakers fan, like, I want them to do well, but fucking LeBron, man. Why you got to do that, man?
Why you got to ruin a good thing?
Right. I mean, I wanted to get a new Lakers jersey anyways this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had the player in mind, so I'm glad it wasn't LeBron, so I don't have to change my mind or buy a new jersey.
Fair enough.
I was going to get the Kuz, Kyle Kuzma.
Nice. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you follow us on Untappd, Instagram, Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, all those fabulous places. Make sure you give us a 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, whatever bullshit they ask you to do.
5 out of 7 with rice. Well, what was that other one? The movie guy who was like, this is like a perfect movie. I give it like a, it was like a stupid rating, but it was on Reddit for a long time. Meme worthy.
I don't remember.
I don't either. That's the point of memes. They're funny and then they're not.
Exactly.
we're also on the Instagrams and, I am, like I said last week, starting to tweet.
Tweet your tweets.
Yes. All right, everybody.
We'll see you next time.